Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our current series of studies, Selected Parables from the Gospel according to St. Luke. And the parable which we wish to consider today is found in the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 13, if you wish to follow us in your Bible. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 reads, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Our Lord Jesus Christ uses this occasion of the man who complains against his brother because he hadn't divided the inheritance properly. And the Lord says there's more to life than covetousness. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Life is more than meat, more than food. We read in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, life consists of the coming to know Christ. The reason for each and everyone listening to this broadcast, as well as your speaker, the reason we were born into this world is that we might hear about the Lord Jesus, that we might believe in him and be born again into God's family and to go into his kingdom. This is God's will. God is long-suffering, we read, and not willing that any should perish. God would have heaven full of people. He wants them. And he wants them so much that he gave his Son to die on the cross of Calvary for their sins so that there wouldn't be a single thing to keep them out of heaven. We are born for that purpose. And life consists in finding Christ, not in the abundance of the things which we possess. And this man had made a mistake. He was covetous. I don't know whether he had a good, just case or not, but the Lord refused to judge his case. He says, I'm going to tell you something that you should be desiring. Not this inheritance that will fade away. Eternal life that will never fade away. And then life is found in knowing God, we read in, for instance, in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We read in the scripture, John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Could words be plainer? Eternal life depends upon a one-upon-one relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't go on another person's ticket. I can't boast about the fact that I had a godly father or a godly mother or a grandfather who was a preacher or anything of the kind. It is a one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will bring satisfaction to life. Now let's concern ourselves with the parable that he tells this covetous man who wants him to be a judge of men and a divider of the inheritance. He goes on to tell him, "This he spake this parable unto them, saying," and there were others listening, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and so on. Now this rich man made four common mistakes, and those mistakes are being made today. The rich man left God out of his plans. Do you notice the time that he says, I will? I will, I will. There's not a thing about what God says. Not a thing about what God's will is. Did you notice it? He left God out of his thoughts, out of his plans. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Not what would the Lord have me do. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many days. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It was I will all the way. But you know, I wills of men are not the I wills of God. God said to this man, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. This man said, many years, I have much goods laid up for many years. God said, tonight. He left God out of his thoughts. He left God out of his plans. There was no I will in his life. James encourages us to say in the fourth chapter of his epistle, verse 15, he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. And I like that expression. If the Lord will, I'll do this or that. I remember Arthur Godfrey many years ago on his program, ended his program, we'll see you tomorrow, the good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Well, it was humorous, of course, but I like to hear it, the good Lord willing. This man didn't say that. It was all his idea. He left God out of his plans. And he supposed, the second mistake that he made, was he supposed that earthly goods could satisfy the soul. The soul is not satisfied with earthly goods. We read in John chapter 6, verse 35, the Lord is the speaker. On one occasion, he told those that were listening to him, he said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now the Lord was not talking about physical hunger, because a Christian can get just as hungry as anybody else physically. What is the Lord talking about? This is a bold statement. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's not talking about the hunger of the soul. He's talking about the hunger of the soul. And God, I believe, God has created men hungry so that they'll seek him and come to him and have the eternal life of which the Lord speaks and be forever sated, forever satisfied. Mistake number three, he lived a selfish life. My goods, my barns, my welfare. He was an extremely selfish man. That's not the happy life. The happy life is lived for others. There are so many scriptures to support that we should indeed give to others. The Lord spoke on one occasion, well, Paul refers to it in the 20th chapter of Acts, verse 35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And in Ephesians, Paul writes there, verse 28 of chapter 4, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The happy person is the liberal person. The unhappy person is the selfish person. You show me a selfish person, and I'll show you an unhappy person. He made that third mistake. He thought that the things of earth would satisfy the soul. Then the fourth mistake we've already mentioned, he thought he had many years left. That was the worst mistake that he made. He says there, as we read in the scriptures, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He left God out, but God didn't leave him out. God warned him, you are on the ragged edge. And this man, I believe, died that night. I believe that the parables, really, we should mention that, if we've not mentioned it before, the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ were not, they were drawn from nature, but he is omniscient. He knows these things. He said, when he says here, he tells this parable, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, I believe there was a certain rich man. God is omniscient. When we try to illustrate our thoughts, we say, for instance, or suppose. The Lord didn't have to do that. He said, in this occasion, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This is a real life story, and it's very sad. This man was living for this world, and he left God out of his thoughts. And God had to tell him, had to warn him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? But then let's not forget the last verse of this parable. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward God, who has everything, the cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. Have we got anything that God wants? Definitely and unequivocally, yes. He wants our love. He wants our faith. God wants it desperately. He wants our love. He thought he would gain our love when out of love he gave his son to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And if that will not move our hearts toward in love toward God, I don't know what will. But God wants. He wants our faith. He wants our love. And he wants it so much that he gave his son to die for us, for you and for me. Now, he wants us to be rich in love. The woman in the 7th chapter of Luke, the sinner whom Christ forgave, he says of her, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Yes, we can be rich in love. We can be rich in faith. We can be rich in liberality. We can be rich in good works. And God wants these things from you and from me. We've got something that he wants. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will get from our hearts that which is your due. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.